Blog Talk Radio.
BDPAI Radio showcases IT entrepreneurs, technology experts, and computer science academics. We highlight people with a passion for educating our youth in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. BDPAI Radio Show serves the BDPA members, sponsors, entrepreneurs, educational institutions, and the black community. BDPAI Radio, linking business, education, and technology.
Well, welcome everyone to BDPI Radio. Tonight is Tuesday, July the 30th. It is the fourth Tuesday of the month, and iRadio broadcasts on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. We welcome you to our show, and we have two very exciting guests tonight. Our first guest is Stephanie Lampkin, and she is Chief Executive Officer of Hovenware. And our second guest is Dr. Craig Brown, National Vice President of National BDPA. So I am going to jump right in. Stephanie is no stranger to those of you who are familiar with BDPA and the great work that it does. So Stephanie, I'd like to welcome you to the show. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. And I love how we talked about a little bit before the show that you're actually using your computer to connect with us tonight. Tell us a little bit about that. You know, I know that you're a tech woman. On your side, participating in Blog Talk Radio, what technology are you using?
I'm actually using Google Voice. They have a really good system where for Sprint customers, you can port your existing phone number into their Google system, and basically you can dial any phone in the U.S. for free, and then similar to Skype, you can pay a small fee to make calls outside of the U.S. using voice over IP.
Wow. So that you use that on a personal basis as well as a business basis?
I do, primarily because I live on Martha's Vineyard Island, and the phone signals here are really bad.
So you're calling us from outside the U.S. right now?
No, Martha's Vineyard is an island off the coast of Massachusetts.
Okay, but this could work on any island, Jamaica, Barbados, et cetera. Okay,
absolutely.
So you're in the U.S. in Martha's Vineyard, which in fact happens to be the location of your business. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Just by coincidence. Well, again, welcome to the show. Let me share with the listeners a little bit about your background. Stephanie Lampkin is another example of the BDPA mantra, from the classroom to the boardroom. She's gone from representing Washington, D.C. in the 1999 through 2001 National High School Computer Competition Championships to an undergraduate degree at Stanford University, to a career at Microsoft, and to her current educational aspiration of gaining a master's degree from MIT. Now, during the time that she served as the high school computer competition coordinator, she was actually with the BDPA Charlotte chapter. And now she's changed and turned her passion for travel into a startup business. She started a travel tech company, which serves people who want to take trips all year round. Now, BDPA iRadio show listeners, how many black female founders and CEOs of tech startups do you know? Well, if you don't know Stephanie, you're about to get to know her a little bit better. So, Stephanie, take us back. I said in your bio that you had this BDPA connection. How did you first find out about BDPA?
I actually first found out about BDPA through my auntie. She was a longtime member of the BDPA Hartford chapter. At the time, I was in middle school, so I was too young to participate in the high school computer competition. But she still got me involved in computers and programming, and it was pretty much love at first sight for me. I've always had an interest in computers. So when I did become of age to participate, I was very eager to do so, and I joined the closest local chapter to where I lived, which was the Washington, D.C. chapter.
Oh, okay. So you got involved in the D.C. chapter. You were still in high school. What was it like being part of the chapter? What did involvement mean to you at that point in time?
It was really great experience. I found it actually to be quite inspiring, especially going to the conferences where I was given exposure to a lot of different kinds of people that I otherwise would not have exposure to. So seeing people who were business owners of tech companies, seeing people who were executives at major Fortune 500 companies, that probably had the biggest impact on me. And then, of course, being given the opportunity to learn programming at such a very young age, which at the time kind of took for granted. But as I did enter the professional space, I realized how significant it was for me to gain a lot of those skills early on.
Okay. So you had the high school computer competition. You continued your education. At Stanford University, what did you major in, and was there a connection with technology?
Yes. So I actually went to Stanford planning to be a CS major, but found out that I wanted more of an interdisciplinary engineering degree. So I majored in management science and engineering, which is basically a derivation of industrial engineering with more business and sociology and organizational theory kind of thrown in. So that was a really good experience. And actually my classmate, Kevin Systrom, is also a management science and engineering major, and he founded Instagram, which, as I'm sure many people know, was sold to Facebook for $1 billion.
Wow. So, Stephanie, we're expecting you to follow in that tradition as quickly as possible.
That's the plan.
Well, you know, based on your degree, you've got the business tossed in, the organizational management. Tell us about, you know, kind of how the BDPA experience supported your personal, educational, and professional development. What did it mean throughout the years for you?
For me, it meant a lot just having exposure, as I mentioned before, to role models that I didn't see on TV and within my own family. So that gave me an idea of what I could aspire to, and it was very real. These are people who actually have ended up being in my life since then. My current mentor is someone who I met through BDPA at 13, and he's been very active in my life. So I can't stress enough the importance of Black professionals to get involved with kids programs like BDPA, even if you don't have kids, because just your presence can make a significant impact. But in addition to a lot of the technology things that we learned through BDPA, we actually did a lot of business etiquette. So the HSCC coordinators and the DC chapter took time out to teach us some of the fundamentals of etiquette in the business world, building your resume, interacting with superiors, et cetera. So learning those things at 13, 14, 15 years old, I really felt like I got a head start and was very well prepared to start getting internships with companies. The summer of my freshman year, I started working for Northrop Grumman in an IT internship role, and I felt very confident and very well prepared from my BDPA experience.
That is wonderful. I mean, it's so important for members to understand the impact. And part of what I hear you saying is just the presence, just, you know, being there literally in line of sight for younger students, and also having the opportunity to share the knowledge is so important. What about the career at Microsoft? How did you make the transition from college to the working world?
It was actually a really great transition because Microsoft had recently piloted a program called the Microsoft Academy for College Hires. They basically wanted to start the preparation for management very early on in their new hire career. So they created this whole two-year program for us that was centered around learning different aspects of the company and also understanding what we needed to do in our career development to grow within Microsoft. So they made the transition very, very easy for us. And overall, the company was great. I mean, I kind of felt spoiled a little bit, especially living in Charlotte, because when you're in the field, as they say, as opposed to right there in Seattle, you don't seem to have as much of the same pressure, even though we do, in services, we make a lot of impact in the company's bottom line. But overall, it was a very easy transition. My undergraduate major prepared me very well for a lot of the roles that I had to take on at Microsoft.
Excellent. Now, many people would say, gosh, I'm working for a Microsoft, you know, premier technology company. This is it. I'm not looking any further. I have the opportunity to volunteer. And you were volunteering as a high school computer competition coordinator for the BDPA Charlotte chapter. Why did you look outside of corporate America and decide to create something for yourself?
Well, I actually read something somewhere that said the common thread between some of the most successful entrepreneurs in the U.S. are an engineering or technical background and an entrepreneurial parent. And as it just so happens, my parents, and actually most of the women in my family, have owned their own business at some point. So I think the entrepreneurship gene has been within me from day one. So I always knew I wanted to start a company, but I wanted to make sure that I had enough experience and enough exposure and enough a lengthy enough network to be able to be successful. So it was, for me, it was just a matter of time, and everything leading up to this point was just a stepping stone.
Well, a stepping stone is an interesting visual metaphor, because your current business focuses on helping people move, helping people literally travel and be able to take trips all along. How did you come up with that concept, and how are you taking that idea and translating it into a business?
Well, it's actually through organizations like BDPA. I'm also part of an organization called the National Brotherhood of Skiers. Basically, these organizations that I've been a part of as a kid have given me opportunities to travel in groups, whether it be for conferences or special events, et cetera, in addition to my annual family reunions and traveling with friends. So all of my life, as long as I can remember, I've been traveling with people. And so it dawned on me probably around my second year at Microsoft that there was a need for a platform to enable people to travel together easier, because typically it can become a logistical nightmare for one person who has to bear the burden of coordinating everything for everybody. So it kind of evolved really from my own personal experiences as a kid and into adulthood, and I think my technical background has given me the foundation I need to actually take the idea to actual execution into a viable business.
Okay, so I'm hearing a passion. I'm hearing the experience, the exposure, the engineering background, the entrepreneurial parent, and I'm hearing the execution. You made it happen. What lessons learned in that translation from an idea to a business? What are some key lessons that you've learned already as you run your business from Martha's Vineyard?
One of the key lessons that I've learned, because this business has actually been a work in progress for over 5 years, and I've had a few missteps along the way. But I'd say one of the biggest lessons I learned is that you really can't do it alone. If even if you do start off as a sole proprietor, you have to use as many resources within your own networks to really get things off the ground. As much as we would like to take control of everything and just go at it, you'll be most effective if you surround yourself with people and resources that match whatever you need done within your company.
So, given that that's true, I'd like you to, it's not a commercial, I don't want to give you a license to do that, and I'd still like you to share a little bit about your company specifically, the website, and for listeners that are wondering kind of, you know, how to do it, what are some of the how-tos as it relates to your business? How would they connect with you? How would they find value in the service that you're providing now that they've had a chance to kind of get to know you?
Sure. So my landing page is currently up. It's www.whowhenwhere.com. It's actually spelled H-O-O-W-E-N-W-A-R-E, but with the same phonetics as who, when, where. And basically the idea is that whenever we take trips with friends or family, whether it's something very structured and organized like a family reunion, or if it's something more professional related like a BDPA conference, typically someone is responsible for coordinating the hotels, getting everybody's flight itinerary information, getting payments on time and any deposits that may be necessary. And presently, there isn't any tool online that really centralizes and digitizes that entire process. So for someone who is typically in the position of planning trips, this sort of tool will be most valuable to them because it provides a platform where you can start the planning process and get buy-in and payments from everyone a part of your travel party. And for those people who have ever participated in any sort of group travel, and group can mean three or more people, by the way, 3 to 300, it's very open. This basically provides a lot more transparency into the details, knowing where you need to be, why, allowing for seamless payments, and any other logistics that need to be ironed out for your trip. And ultimately, that's the value that I provide to the consumer. There is a B2B side of it as well, which will come later on, probably in a year or so, where I'll be able to have partnerships with hotel chains and charter companies and event planning companies so that there can be a direct booking relationship between groups and those companies in preparation for travel.
So let's say, just kind of linking together the BDPA pieces, since the conference is coming up in August and it is in Washington, D.C., if there was a group of three that wanted to plan a trip to the conference, how would they use who and where to do that?
Well, I'm actually still in the first phase of building my beta product, so it probably won't be ready by this year's conference. But if we were mm-hmm. to say next year, simply all they would have to do is log on to bdpa.whoandwhere.com, create a group trip page within BDPA's Who and Where page to be able to coordinate the room booking, to be able to upload all of their flight information. So anyone who's ever used TripIt, they have this feature where if you forward your flight confirmation to them, they parse through the data and consolidate it for everyone in your group to be able to have access to your information. So similar technology will be used by this site. And so anyone, like you said, in that party of three will now be able to know who's getting in at what time. If their flight's delayed, they'll get a notification. They'll also, everyone will also have information about check-in time, check-out time, locations, everywhere they need to be throughout the day. It's fully comprehensive for group travel.
That sounds very, very exciting. So when do you think that you'll be able to kind of move out of the beta stage into that kind of process where organizations like BDPA could set up their own web page and start to use it for, you know, the executive team or regional team or even a high school computer competition team?
So I expect my private beta to be released on September 1st, so just about a month away. And then we'll do some testing, probably for about a month or so. So I expect around October to be the time frame when I'll go from private beta to a more public beta where organizations like BDPA can give it a test run.
That is very, very exciting. I can already think of a number of organizations that I'm involved in that would find value in this and that I would be somewhat of a heroine to introduce a solution that would eliminate a lot of headaches. So very, very exciting that you've taken the initiative, taken your experience, and really translated it into something that people can use and that you can be proud of. So as we wrap up, Stephanie, what are some final thoughts that you'd like to leave our audience? Because you are, again, a role model and an example of from the classroom to the boardroom. You've just chosen to create your own boardroom, which is really, really very powerful.
Yeah, thank you. I would say my final thoughts would be for everyone to really encourage our next generation to pursue entrepreneurship and innovation. I think our culture up until this point has really encouraged higher education in corporate America, which I think is absolutely great. But if you look at the most successful tech entrepreneurs in our country, many of them are high school or college dropouts. And they're able to do that because they don't have the same risk aversion that we have in our community when it comes to really being innovative and really taking that risk of starting something that has never been done before. So I would just hope that I could be an example for others and really put the message out there that there is more to being successful than going to great schools and working for great companies, even though that is the path that I took. Ultimately, I think we really should get our youth more into innovating and creating technologies that the world has never seen before, because right now the people that are doing that do not look like us at all.
Well, Stephanie, those are wonderful watchwords and for us to think about and take action on. I really look forward to seeing you at the conference. I'm very excited that you will be moving into the private beta and the public beta of your software related to who and where. And I must confess, initially when I saw the spelling of the site, I really got stuck on the, like, how and where, but now I get it, the who and where. And I do see those little, like, owl-like telescope binocular, the visuals. So just again for the audience, it's HOOENWARE.com. And I know that Wayne Hicks has been, you released a video and then posted it on the BDPA blog, and Wayne as well as other BDPA members are, you know, helping you get the word out, and it's just wonderful. I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, and I look forward to bringing you back on the show when you're out of beta. And our next guest is Dr. Craig Brown, and so it's good for him to hear what you're doing and how you're doing it, because I'm sure that the BDPA leadership would be interested in following your success as well. So thank you so much for being on the show this evening.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. And have a great evening. Feel free to stay connected to your PC and listen in as we continue the BDPA iRadio show with our next guest, Dr. Craig Brown. Dr. Brown, welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
Good. I'm doing very well. I hope you're doing well as well.
I am. It is a pleasant evening here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A few weeks ago, it was very, very uncomfortable, and this evening, it's really very pleasant. So, you know, it's surprising what the summer brings. And it's good to be here.
The heat you experienced in Philadelphia for that short period of time, I experienced here in Houston on a regular basis.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. it was a little bit too hot, even too hot to barbecue. So, you know, that's dangerous when it's too hot to barbecue. So I love that I hear laughter and energy from you. You know, Dr. Craig Brown, you're currently serving as the National BDPA Vice President, and that is a very serious role with a lot of responsibilities and a lot of goals. And I know that you're aspiring to rise to the highest elected position in National BDPA in being a candidate to become the 2014-2015 National BDPA President. So one of my first questions to you is, given your experience in a leadership role, what gives you the energy to say, I want more of this in terms of serving BDPA?
That's a very good question. As I served as vice president over the last year and a half, I learned quite a bit about not only BDPA and what it takes to lead an organization such as this, but also some things about myself and the level of dedication and motivation one needs to have in order to endure an organization's adjustments to the current times, an organization's adjustments to new leadership as we, you know, bring in an exchange and transition in leadership every 2 years. I was a part of that transition a year and a half ago. So what happens is I got started on some things, and I don't think my job is done. So the next order of things for me was to continue my work or continue the work, you know, of the leadership as a whole, and then continue the ideas and the concepts that I would like to put forth and bring BDPA into, you know, a new age of thought leadership, technological advantages and innovations, and membership.
Okay. So some of our listeners are aware that you're in the leadership role, and they may not have a full understanding of what it is that you started. So if you could take us back, what are some of the contributions that you've made as part of a leadership team that might impact a BDPA member or that might impact a BDPA leader or may impact a parent because their child is part of a high school computer competition?
Sure. So one of the contributions that I made to the organization, and keep in mind that when I say I made, it wasn't necessarily me by myself, but me a part of a team of other leadership members that are part of BDPA. I was able to, at the direction of our current president, create a document called the Chapter Management Guide. And this document is a full, one, it's a working document, but two, it is a full scope of what I believe it took and takes to run, start, revive, and properly manage a local chapter. And it also describes the relationship between the local chapter communities and the national organization so that we can begin to mend and create some cohesive measures so that we have a working engine and all cylinders are moving at the national level and at the local level, regardless of your geographical makeup, your chapter size, and your chapter's focus points, which may be the high school community competition, it may be professional development of IT professionals or a combination. So that creating that document is certainly something I'm very proud of, and I consider it a major contribution to the organization. If used properly, it could impact one's ability to increase the effectiveness of their chapter and increase the effectiveness of national within their chapter's organization. Another contribution that I speak highly of is the programs that I've brought to our leadership meetings that discuss some technological advances that I believe the organization should take. I've presented to our national board on quite a few occasions a number of different mobile application advantages I believe that our organization should take advantage of and bring technology back to the forefront of this organization. Being that we're an IT-focused organization, we're starting, I believe, to lose sight of the technology itself. So I want to reintroduce technology into the organization and allow that technology to help propel us forward into an age where we want corporations, students, IT professionals, and even people who work around IT who aren't necessarily specifically in the IT field to learn from us as technological leaders and also look at what we do and the technology that we use and the technologies that we recommend. So those are a few examples of some contributions that I believe, have made or will make a difference in the organization moving forward.
That's very helpful. Now, I'm interested in what are some examples of the technology that we might be using and or recommending as, technology thought leaders as an organization?
What we're currently using or what I recommend we move forward with?
What you recommend, because, one of the nice things about PDPAI Radio is, twice a month we can, in talking with individuals like yourself, find out, trends, and we can find out technology to track and follow. So I'd love to give our listeners some insight into some recommendations.
Sure. So let's look at, where things are here in 2013. There is a big push in the technological trends to merge physical and digital worlds. And while they're fusing, and I'll give you an example, traffic cameras and traffic real-time cameras and that influence driving routes and they influence traffic patterns. And I'm a marathon runner, so the technology and the bibs that as I run the marathon course, the course managers can see exactly where I am on the course, my pace, my distance, how far I am from the finish line, and so forth and so on, and give me analytical information about my run, specifically as an individual runner. Those are two examples of technologies that are merging into our everyday life. Technology used to be a business tool, and now it is more of a personal. It can be used as a personal enhancement to get us through our day. And what I would like to see BDPA do, because the levels of technology are both on our extreme ends, personal level and in the corporation level, is incorporate these kinds of ideas and technological trends into our thought leadership and our day-to-day introduction of technology to our students so that as our students get more and more familiar with programming languages and applications, they can see that what the impact of those applications can ultimately end up being in their everyday life.
Mm. And might that result in things like curriculum changes in the competition program and different ways of delivering programs within a chapter?
That is correct. You mentioned actually a couple of good points, and I'll just add a little bit to that list. You know, when it really comes down to, you know, what areas of the organization do I think these technological trends can be introduced? Certainly the technology and HSCC program, our membership program directly, technology and how we can utilize it to enhance our actual local chapters' day-to-day operation, technology and our professional development programs and curriculums, technology and our national conference, and technology and our chapter of the year competition, for example. So using the national conference as an example, I would like to see our national conference introduce a technology where when you register, you can actually track your agenda. So, and get, receive reminders when your agenda is a few minutes from starting, tell you where the room location is, and ultimately maybe lead you to that location, whereas the technology may have a built-in map of the hotel and bring you to right to the doorstep of your presentation or whatever event you've signed up for. I'll remind you when there's a break, tell you about other opportunities that you may be able to take advantage of while you're there, and allow you to make changes and shifts in that agenda and your schedule so that you can take full advantage of everything that we offer at the National Conference. That's the kind of thing that I've seen high-tech companies do, and I don't see any reason why BDPA couldn't also be in a realm of technology that offers very similar types of advantages.
And are there opportunities then to request those technology developments to come from members?
Absolutely.
To create the apps
like,
or that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I would like the students to be involved in creating these applications and these technologies. I would like the professional IT development curriculum to include ways to contribute to those technologies. Because at the end of the day, we're trying to bring our members to a lead position in technology so that the students will take over as leaders, as you know, from our current leadership, and our professional IT professionals can take over leadership in their corporations and in their places of employment. I believe that's what our mission statement's all about. And just listening to the young lady who spoke before me about her tech company, that's a perfect example of the kinds of contributions I want all of our students to come to the table and talk about when they come out of college and when they come out of their first initial roles within corporations, getting their entry-level development out of the way, and then bringing themselves to starting their own businesses and or leading the corporations that, you know, they're employed at.
So is that part of the vision in terms of the organizational upgrade?
Yes. So I'm using the term organizational upgrade to talk about the change, not necessarily from a change because of a problem or change because of an issue from the past, but a change moving forward that allows us to enhance or upgrade our capabilities and create a trend within ourselves, within our own organization, both at the local chapter level and at the national level, to continuously upgrade, just like technology. Technology comes out with release one, and it never ends or stops at release one. It always ends up at some number of releases that come out down the road. That's the kind of thought that I believe our organization should adopt and continuously upgrade and change and enhance our programs, our offerings, and keep our value proposition at an all-time high.
And what, as I was reading your bio silently, I may not have read it out loud, I did see the phrase value proposition, the BDPA
yep.
value proposition. As a candidate for the national BDPA president position, What is that BDPA value proposition?
Well, value proposition is measured in lots of different places. It's not necessarily a single item that can be weighed. You want value proposition to be, and why become a member of BDPA? What's in it for you? What do you get out of it in exchange for the membership fee? The curriculums and the things that I've just mentioned in terms of, you know, what a professional member might get out of it would be a contribution towards that value proposition. The students' upgrades and the curriculums afforded to the students and the technologies that I would like to have them start to introduce themselves to and learn about and grow within and develop with would be also a part of the value proposition. We have a number of corporate sponsors that contribute in-kind contributions, financial contributions. They contribute resources, and the value proposition I would like to provide for them in exchange are well-qualified, well-developed professionals that they could source through our systems to introduce employment opportunities to. What I would like to see happen from a value proposition is that it's in all areas and all directions at the local chapter level. What does a local chapter have in their local community to offer to the local businesses and local corporations in those areas? What do they need? What don't they have? What resources would it take to make that local chapter a force in their community? And then showcasing the success stories that those local chapters have when it comes to the children that they've mentored or the impact they've had on people's lives. This is a very personal thing. BDPA impacts people. At the end of the day, these are people we're talking about. And whether it's in the form of a corporation or whether it's in the form of a sponsorship, whether it's in the form of a student program, these are people. And from the classroom to the boardroom is exactly that.
Very, very exciting. Now, you have, in your professional development, pursued a number of degrees, including a PhD, and you have as much emphasis on leadership as you do technology. I'm wondering if you could just spend a few moments, like Stephanie in her earlier interview talked about, part of what is so powerful in entrepreneurs that are effective is that they move away from the solo entrepreneurship model to creating a team. And BDPA uses a leadership model that leverages the team. So I'm wondering if you could talk about what does leadership mean to you, and again, translate that into the stakeholders within the BDPA community, members, sponsors, parents, student participants.
Sure. So leadership to me is leveraging one's skill set to help create advantages in the organization's value proposition again, and ultimately to proceed towards where our mission statement drives us for. And with that skill set, you provide others to follow. You provide others motivation, provide others with enticing excitement that allows them and affords them the opportunity to volunteer because they feel the drive, they feel the passion. Leadership also allows the people that are impacted by the leadership a way to learn. So, you know, when you think military, leadership is about orders and direction. When you think corporation, leadership is about growth and development. And when you think about schools and curriculums, leadership is about development and mentoring. All of those components of leadership, I believe, make up the BDPA leadership at the local chapter level. It makes up the BDPA membership, a leadership at the national level, and every place in between. It also makes up our student leaders, both at the high school level and the college level, because our high school computer competition and our college students are taught and are mentored to lead their teams. So when we look at the leadership component within BDPA, I want the focus is to be on mentoring, on developing, on providing motivation for people to continue to, you know, my passion, I would like to pass it down to someone else and have someone else pick up where I leave off and keep the organization going. And it must work because the organization is still here 38 years later. So it's got to be something that's always been a part of our organization, because there's not very many corporations, for that matter, and organizations that are in the nonprofit space make it 38 years. That's an accomplishment in itself, considering the time that the organization was developed and who it was developed for, African Americans. So I believe that we are beating the odds with our leadership and the way we do things, and I hope that I can continue to contribute, you know, my mindset into that model, and keep the organization going another 2 years and pass that on, pass the torch on to someone else to continue it, and you know, hopefully you and I will be sitting back, you know, 30 years from now, marveling at the organization at 60 plus years and growing.
Wow, that is a wonderful vision, and I did want to ask you, what was your vision? And I think that's I'd like you just to expand on that a little bit more. Imagine it is January 2014 and you're stepping into that national presidency. What would your vision for BDPA be?
Well, actually, to sum up the entire conversation thus far makes up what I believe my vision and the right vision for BDPA moving forward is, and that is to create an organization where all student members, professional members, and chapter leadership have easy access to the technological resources and information needed in order to provide an infrastructure that supports the organization's mission statement. I keep coming back to the mission statement because that's why we do the things we do. And lastly on that, I would like to bring the national and local chapters to a continuous adjustment for the BDPA value proposition. Our value proposition is a moving target. It may be very much a part of the student program this year. It could shift into our development programs that we offer at the national conference and an ongoing basis online. It could shift towards new technological thought leadership that we might want to provide to our corporate sponsors as corporations who also use technology in their variety of business fields and competitions, or a combination of all those things moving forward. So I believe that, you know, from my vision, it is all encompassing of pretty much everything that we've discussed so far tonight.
You know, Dr. Craig Brown, it is so inspiring, and I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts, sort of breaking them down into concepts that are easy to understand, and then repackaging them in ways that, you know, motivate people to take another look at what BDPA gives them the opportunity to both give and receive. That whole concept of the BDPA value proposition is one that I've heard many, many guests address in their own way. And it's very exciting that you personally and professionally derive energy from BDPA such that you want to continue to be involved in the leadership, step up within the leadership ranks, and surround yourself with a team of people who are really committed to, as you say, the mission of BDPA. So I want to thank you again for the work that you have done, for the volunteer time that you have contributed, and to the leadership that you have provided on so many levels within BDPA. And I want to just have you share with folks some of the tactical and practical things that they can do at the conference related to the whole election process. Before we started, you were giving me some of those details. So I'm hoping that you'll just spend a minute or two sharing with people how this election process works. Okay, so let me just thank you for cueing me and just letting me know that I should share that. So first of all, everyone, I didn't make a big push to this show, and I still want to do that, that if you have not already registered, you should go to www.bdpa.org and make sure that you register for our national conference. The national conference this year will be held in Washington, D.C., and right on the homepage of bdpa.org, there is information about the honorary chairs, the speakers, the agenda at a glance, the career expo, the fact that there is a Scrum Master Certification course, that the Golf Classic is in full swing, and information about the awards. If you're interested in volunteering, there's an opportunity to do so, and certainly information about the hotel. So the conference starts as early as Monday, August the 12th, with the National Board of Directors meeting. On Tuesday, August the 13th, there are a number of leadership meetings, chapter building workshops, and open to the public at 6:30 p.m. is the HBCU panel. It is becoming part of the BDPA National Conference tradition, and it is always very exciting. Often there are scholarship opportunities that are opened up to the public, and so it is a must-attend event. Then on Wednesday, August the 14th, the student opening ceremony and breakfast starts right at 8 a.m. sharp, and the general session is opening up at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, August 14th, with Sherry Littlejohn, EVP of Wells Fargo and Company. Throughout the day, there are a number of sessions. A keynote speaker is Roland Martin. A plenary lunch is sponsored by State Farm Insurance, and there are a number of professional seminars, afternoon break, and then at 7 p.m., the opening ceremony and reception sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, Texas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. And one of the things that Pamela Sexton, our conference director, has really stressed is that this year's National Conference has this wonderful blend of education, of technology, of networking, of professional development, of just wonderful sponsorship and opportunities to see people in action as well as fun. So on Wednesday evening from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., there's cards and karaoke. Then on Thursday, August the 15th, the high school computer competition, the oral component starts right at 8 a.m. There is a general session, and the speaker at 8:30 a.m. is Fumi Chima, a vice president at Walmart Corporation. The Scrum Master Certification starts, and then there are a number of professional seminars, plenary luncheon sponsored by WellPoint, and then the BETF, which is the BDPA Education and Technology Foundation annual meeting, is on Thursday afternoon. One of the things that Dr. Craig Brown and I were talking about is that the election process involves delegates having an opportunity to meet and greet all of the candidates on both Wednesday, August the 14th, and Thursday, August the 15th. And then the delegates will actually place their votes on Friday, August 16th. And I believe, although I'm not certain, that the election results will be posted at the gala on Saturday. So lots of activity, lots of opportunities starting Monday, August the 12th, and going all the way through Saturday, August the 17th. So if you have not registered, please make sure that you do so. We're looking forward to you being part of the National Conference. So I want to thank our guests this evening. This was a special show. Typically, we run the second and fourth Tuesday of the month, and this is actually a fifth Tuesday. And our special guests were Stephanie Lampkin, Chief Executive Officer of Who and Where, that's HOOWENWARE, and our very own Dr. Craig Brown, National Vice President of National BDPA. Thank you again for tuning in to BDPA iRadio. We are always looking forward to you listening, you tweeting, you posting, and you identifying guests that you'd like to hear from for our upcoming shows. This is Fran McNeil on behalf of the BDPA iRadio show team saying good night and have a great week. We look forward to seeing you at the National Conference.
BDPA iRadio, linking business, education, and technology. The BDPA iRadio show creates a vibrant communications platform that speaks to all BDPA stakeholders. Hosted by Fran McNeil. Sponsored by the BDPA Education and Technology Foundation and the Executive Director, Wayne Hicks. Produced by Everaldo Gallimore. Technical advice by John Melanson. BDPA iRadio broadcasts the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. Join us on blogtalkradio.com/BDPA.
What do Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and Mark Zuckerberg have in common? They all learned computer coding before high school.
Funutation has taught more than 1,000 kids to code through their summer tech camps. Funutation uses their trademark teams approach so that kids can experience technology, engineering, arts, math, and sciences in a fun and non-threatening way.
Tech camps run only during the summer. So register now at www.funutation.com or call 216-378-9035. Sorry, to keep the camps fun, no adults allowed.
Funutation Academy, LLC, making the world computer smarter.
Your voice.